Welcome to St. Augustine this evening. It's Thursday in the real world, but here it's Friday. Right, Amanda?
It is Friday.
It's Friday here because we're not going to be here tomorrow doing a show. We're going to be off enjoying Friday on Friday, so today's our Friday show. Very special guest today. We'll introduce him in just a minute, and we're going to have a fun show. We got trivia at the end of the show as well today. So welcome to our Thursday show, which is kind of our Friday show. I do have an update. There's a tropical storm out there, Fiona. And since Brightway Insurance, the KC agency, does all of our surf reports, Ashley wants you to know there's probably going to be waves at the end of next week. Hopefully it's like it was this last time when the storm stays in the middle of the Atlantic, but we'll find out. Opening their doors in 2008, the Brightway Insurance, the KC agency, has proudly stood by their customers through hurricanes, major floods, hail, and fires. Through these events, the agency has become a much-needed insurance resource in times of trouble and hardship. Honesty and integrity are their pillars of their core values, says Ashley Casey, and they pride themselves on being insurance experts while developing strategies that help their clients meet their insurance needs. Give them a call. Go talk to everybody over there. They're great folks. They're over on the island. Wonderful, wonderful people. And Amanda, it's that time.
We love that time.
We love that time. Land Title of America, whether you realize it or not, when you refinance the sale or purchase of a home, or finance one, there's a title company involved. Don't get stuck with some out-of-town title company who doesn't give a crap when you're faced with challenges. Stay local and choose Land Title of America. Just call or text Stephen Collins at 501-4481. He specializes in all types of real estate transactions. Land Title, your local title company, insuring America's land one title at a time. Because why, Amanda?
They give a crap.
Yes, they do. All right, who do you have for ad reads today?
I have Ray's Tire and Service. They are your one-stop shop in St. Augustine for over 38 years. Locally owned and operated for three generations with 40 employees to serve you, their customers. Ray's Tire on US 1 South can perform any standard maintenance you may need. They also can do any vehicle repairs from minor repairs to complete engine and transmission replacement. They carry all major brands of tires and are very competitive with their pricing. Don't trust a chain store or dealer with your vehicle. Trust our family. We promise you won't be disappointed. Ray's Tire and Service, 1375 US 1 and online at raystire.net. I also have our friends at SolarStick, established in 2006. SolarStick is a local portable power company proudly committed to American manufacturing, constant innovation, and creating jobs right here in St. Augustine, Florida. SolarStick's focus on providing solutions for self-sufficiency helps users all over the world complete missions and save lives. SolarStick, changing lives, saving lives, and reviving American manufacturing.
All right. Great job, Amanda.
Thank you.
All right. So a couple of announcements on Saturday, which is 2 days from today. We have Surf Quest. It's at 1 o'clock out at Mary Street. It's put on by the Ark of the St. John's. So if you want to go learn to surf, if you have any kind of disabilities, they will help you. Great team of surf coaches out there. You'll get to see one of my favorite guests. RJ Higgins will probably be there surfing as well. So if you get a chance, go. I'm going to try to get out there if my schedule doesn't get in the way. And also the celebration of life for Kathy Brown is 10-6, October 6th at the River House from 4 to 6 p.m. And next week we'll have Bill Dudley come and talk about the Veterans Stand Down, which is at the Elks Lodge on October the 8th. So all kinds of events coming up, so stay in touch with those. My guest, I got challenged by Troy Blevins this week to put lasers on sharks. So I brought in Dr. Evil today.
Dr. Evil.
Dan Bagan is here with us. And Dan has a really interesting story, and he has a one-hit wonder, which we're going to hear about when we get to the one-hit wonder. But Dan, you've got a photography, a video company. You do all kinds of amazing stuff. So tell everybody what you do.
Well, I'm a photographer, studio portrait photographer. And 2 years ago, I had the opportunity to harass Sidney Hobbs, who owns the Classic Car Museum. He'll tell you I stalked him for 6 months to allow me to build a studio in his new museum. He wasn't sure about that until I showed him the kind of photographs I could create. And he said, well, we should do that. So we did that. And so now we're doing some of the most amazing car photography in the Southeast.
And there's a lot of great cars in there to take pictures of.
Yeah, we photographed million-dollar cars. I photographed an Austin Martin just recently, and a $1 million AC Shelby Cobra a little while ago. You know, it's pretty cool, and you know, and then to pay the bills, you know, I photographed couches and little jars of resin and all kinds of crazy stuff. But that's not as exciting as photographing the hot rods.
How did you get into the couch photography?
Well, somebody found out that I had a studio big enough to photograph couches in, mm-hmm. and they saw the, and then they brought me a handful of couches, and we photographed them, and they said, "Holy." Yeah, and
you've got an eye for couches.
I've got an eye for couches. So, you know, we photographed some couches, and 2 weeks from now, they're going to bring me some more. So
so do they sell the couches?
This is a design company that has an office in Jacksonville, and they have furniture that they sell. And so they had me come and, or they brought a whole truckload of the stuff to me, and we unload it, bring it into my great big 50-foot wide by 25-foot mm-hmm. deep studio with the biggest softbox, which doesn't mean a lot, but it's a great big overhead light that creates amazing light for photography. And so, fun thing. And you know, I've done a number of workshops there. I've probably trained 100 photographers in there, maybe more than that. And you know, the Florida Birding and Photo Fest brings me people every year, and we do classes, and people learn how to take studio portrait photography, and they get to use a studio unlike. Not many people get to use a $75,000 studio. So,
is this the first studio, the first big studio you've had?
No.
Sorry, Dan. Can you pull up your mic just a little?
Oh, I'm sorry. I had a big studio just up the road from the museum for a little while, and then the lease ran out, and I moved it. I've had this is like my third or fourth different studio.
Yeah.
So but now this is the biggest studio I've had by far. I mean, this is drive a car in or drive a great big truck into. We take these photographs, and I think Amanda's maybe shown. There's a picture of the studio with the we live stream the carpetbaggers there the first Tuesday of every month. Amanda's a part of that, and Clay, part of that. And so it's just great big monster studio. You've been there. We photographed you, even though you're a fairly hesitant person to be photographed. You know, the grizzly guy photographs, we got to, you know, the guy that likes to be photographed is Troy Blevins.
One of us has a photographer, addiction to photography.
To being photographed.
Yes, yeah, some of us
there's
don't.
There's a picture of Troy right there.
Yeah.
And we've done some semi-nude photographs of Troy with no top on.
They're not suitable for this show. The morning show can show them all they want. Yeah,
that's right. So so that's kind of been fun. And and then, of course, it's maybe my second one-hit wonder. I'm a second two-hit wonder.
Yeah.
Because I got to photograph Pete Melfi in his two personas for the billboard. So that was exciting, too.
That was one of the best billboards.
It was.
It was absolutely amazing.
Seen by probably hundreds of thousands of people.
Millions.
It
went viral on the internet. Millions.
Millions of people.
I feel like Lindsay's face has gotten more tense in her billboards ever since that came out. She seems to be just gritting her teeth a little bit.
Yeah, so that was kind of fun. So,
well, and I was there when they unveiled it with Pete. I was out there with him. I just happened to be there when they dropped their thing. The pride on his face of having that billboard up and how good it looked. And that was probably one of his happier moments when that.
Well, he was really struggling while we were doing the photographs, particularly the photograph of him with the wig on, because mm-hmm. the museum was open at that time. There were people in the museum walking around watching us take these photographs, and they really weren't quite sure, what was going on. We had a couple of kids come over and just stare at him, and so that was hilarious. So
and there was a big debate because Troy was supposed to be on there with him, and then Troy decided.
Wasn't he running for off or running for a new job?
He was trying to get a new job, and he figured that wouldn't be really good for his new job, which I completely agreed with him. I'm like, that's probably a good idea.
Opportunity might be limited.
Yeah, Troy, you don't have very many safe good ideas, and that's one of your safer good ideas.
But that was pretty fun.
No, that was great, and it captured a mood right in the county at the time,
and
for sure.
Everybody that was local understood it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no. You just, you kind of get that. And, I keep daring him to bring another billboard up. He's got an idea, he says, but I haven't seen it.
Well, he hasn't approached me for the photography. I hope he will.
And apparently the wig went for like millions of dollars on eBay.
Oh, he sold it?
No, he still got the wig. Because
I had it.
He's not giving up that wig.
I had it. And then for some reason, I think it was when y'all moved out here, mm-hmm. I came and presented it to him during the show. I don't remember whether he actually put it on while the show was going on.
I can't. He's, for a guy that has an app and is on reporting the news all the time, he's a very shy person.
Oh, he is. Yeah. You just got to put a microphone in front of him and then he's mm-hmm. not shy anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of that way. I mean, I'm much better behind the camera than I am in front of the camera. I don't enjoy the front of the camera very much. So.
You've done photographs with me and we've done video stuff together over time and I like to get it done as quickly as I can.
Yeah.
I try to get right on the first or second take and then we're good to go.
Yep. The key to having a great photograph taken is you just can't give a crap. You got to have a good time. And if you don't have a photographer who can engage you in that way, you got the wrong photographer.
You just explained why Troy loves it so much.
Yeah.
Right? You just right there explained the entire thing.
He doesn't care. You
know? He just doesn't care. He's just out there having a ball. So,
that's right.
No. So how did you get started in photography in the first place?
Well, I started photography when I was in my 20s, and I was living in Connecticut, and my wife and I, you know, had this little room upstairs, and I started doing some studio stuff, and I built a dark room, and then kids and mortgages and life came along, and there just was no more time for photography.
Those darn kids.
Yeah. So
you didn't take any pictures of your kids. There was no time for photography.
I have some pictures of my kids. The first one particularly, the second one less, and the third one even less, which is pretty typical.
That is a very typical. There's a big binder.
Yep.
Right? With the first child.
Yep.
A little smaller binder with the third one. A little smaller, or second one, third one. And the fourth one, probably not a binder at all.
I don't have four, but if we'd have had four, it would have been worse.
Probably not a binder at all.
So.
And the fourth one doesn't care because they get all the other cool stuff. So they're like, I don't have photographs.
I was the youngest, so there weren't any pictures of me either. So, I guess I should have figured that out. But so photography kind of went away. And then about 20 years ago, we moved to Florida. After our youngest went away to college, we moved to St. Augustine. Susie's mother was born here, and she has cousins here. And we had always planned that we were going to retire here.
So who is her family here?
The Barrett family.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maura Barrett, Bill Barrett. Denise Barrett, mm-hmm. her cousins.
Yep.
He has an uncle named Cobb Barrett,
mm-hmm.
Charles Oscar Barrett,
mm-hmm.
who recently passed away at like 97.
Yeah.
And so they were here, and Susie came here every summer as a child, stayed with her grandmother. They'd take the train down from New York and spent the summers here because she was an only child. So her cousins were kind of her brothers and sisters for all summer long. And They would stay down, at the beach and, the lodge at the beach, that's where they stayed. And mm-hmm. it was really funny because we were having we had been here about a month and we were having somehow we got involved in some kind of a party where people came to our house for brunch on a Sunday. And this couple walks in and the woman says to Susie, how come you have a painting of our house? And it's the lodge down here. And, mm-hmm. She says, well, my mother painted it. We used to rent it when we were kids, and that's where we stayed. And it turns out that they're the Mellon family, as in Carnegie Mellon family. Mm-hmm. And so Susie ran to her cousin and said, my mother would just lose her mind that we had the, we'd been here 3 weeks, and we had the Mellons coming for brunch. So it was pretty funny. So anyway, so then we get here, and now it's digital photography time, and I get a camera, and I've made some friends with some musicians, and we start photographing musicians, and then we start shooting videos, music videos, and that sort of thing. And I realized pretty quickly that musicians don't have any money, and if this is going anywhere, I'm not going to be able to do it with musicians.
Yeah.
But I had come from a very technical industrial background and a business background, and so I started approaching people like the airport and Flagler College, and they started hiring me in law firms, and I ended up producing some video for them, and then it's just kind of exploded, and 20 years later, here we are.
So I got to ask you a question. When you first started, you built your own darkroom. So I took photography classes in the 80s at Florida Southern, right? and taking the pictures wasn't bad. Developing your own film.
It's such a time suck.
You just would go over there and you'd spend hours hours upon hours of development. the first time you had to unroll the film out of the little spool
in the dark
and in the dark and put it on the big spool to develop it, you felt like the biggest klutz in the entire world. It felt like you had 12 thumbs.
Yep.
And it took forever to do that. And you just, all you wanted to do was turn on the light so you could see what you were doing. And you just couldn't do that. This is horrible.
So that was, we had that whole thing going on, and a friend of mine would get, and I would get together on a Friday night, you know, from 6 o'clock until like 1 in the morning. Yeah. And we might come out with one print that was worth having. So
it was a big challenge. Now you look at, because of the digital age,
right?
Like, no. Yeah, we'll keep that. It's so much quicker. It's instantaneous.
It is.
It's so much more fun because you don't have to, that whole work step is gone. Is take pictures, look at pictures.
So I'm going to give you one kind of interesting warning about digital photography.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, if you've got photographs that you really care about, print them.
Mm-hmm.
Because 10 years from now, 20 years from now, you're not going to have them anymore. You're not going to be able to get to them. They're going to be like 8mm movies. They're going to be gone. Interesting story. Steve Jobs wrote his notes and his journal in one of the early Macs. They have not been able to get his journal. Can you imagine what Steve Jobs' journal would be worth if you had his notes from that time? They can't get it out. They can't find it. So
Apple did have a security program at one time that worked extremely
really well. So the thing is that if you've got those special family photographs, have them printed in an archival system, put them in the book, because, like, you know, you're going back and looking at your pictures of your grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not going to happen. Your kids are not going to have those photographs because they're going to be gone into some device that's got, you know, and then people say, well, we'll just keep updating them. Well, that sounds really good, but it doesn't happen.
No, you really have to take time to print this, because I probably have, my phone's 4 or 5 years old.
Sure.
I've got 5 years of great photos on there that I need to just go through and go, I got to get these printed out.
You can buy a printer, or you can go and you can print them directly off your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And just have those photographs, put them in the book that's a non-acid kind of a book, and put them someplace where they stay dry, and you'll have them, and your kids will have them, and your grandkids will have them. But if you do it on your phone, they're going to be gone.
Yeah. I can play. And the hard thing is there's certain photos I take, I'm like, I got to save that as a favorite.
Yep.
Because I will never find it.
Yep.
In my history, I don't know how many 2,000 pictures on there.
Back when you were shooting film, it was expensive, and so there, it was a very selected few photographs. You could print them all, and you had them all, but now, you know, we shoot, you know, I've got terabytes and terabytes and terabytes of pictures. And, you know, eventually those drives will fail, and I'll lose the photographs. So that's kind of wild.
And then you, all of us, Amanda, and you and I, go to Trinity Episcopal.
We do.
And so you stepped in during the pandemic with a huge help for them, because churches were closed.
Yep.
Right. But all of a sudden you had services that were still going on.
Yeah.
And what, so how'd you get involved in that? How did you not say no to that one again, say yes and get involved?
Well, you know, it was, it's just one of those, Matt Marino, who's the pastor over there, you know, I love the guy and I'd do anything for him.
Yeah.
So, we started to take a look at what they had. They had begun the process of videotaping, and Amanda and another gentleman were involved in that. And poor Amanda had somebody who thought they knew how to do this, particularly the sound, the sound portion of it, who didn't know how to do it correctly. And so that was a mess. And so they would be live streaming and the whole thing would just kind of dissolve on them. And so, but it was really funny. It goes back to this thing about saying yes to something that you don't want to say yes to. I get a call from a friend of mine who is in Rotary. Another thing that I didn't want to do was to join Rotary, but I meet this woman who, as a result of that, I end up with an AV company because she needed me. But she calls me and says her friend has a son who's a sound engineer who is... he was leaving for California, sold everything. He was ready to leave for California. COVID hits.
Mm-hmm.
And he's hanging out on their couch. And she says, you got to give this kid something to do.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what I was going to do with him. I didn't, you know. Then this thing happens with the COVID. Trinity needs help with sound. We bring in Clay Blaster to Trinity. And he's still there, and he walks in and starts working on some stuff. He hears this voice, and it's Father Ken, and he had Father Ken had taught him ethics in high school. And so it was like coming home, and now his whole family comes to Trinity, and his parents are wonderful, and Clay's been a blessing to, and that's really how he got here. He got to Pete, and, mm-hmm. and was because we were doing football or something, and we needed another guy, and he came in to do that, and then he started filling in for me sometimes when I was in the early days of producing the show.
Yeah, you were one of the early producers.
Yeah, I was here, and then Clay started taking over, and they had somebody who was way more qualified than I was to do that, and
kind of cooler.
So no offense, he's the coolest guy.
Oh yes, he's way cooler. Yeah. Than
way cooler, man. He's even cooler than you.
He is cooler than me, and so when we were working together at the church, I mean, he's a very quiet dude, and so here we are, like, I don't know who this guy is. I don't know anything about him. He just walks in one day, and he saved our sound, which I was doing cameras, and I was running the broadcast software, and so, you know, I'm just shoulder to shoulder with this guy, and he just comes in. He does his job. He doesn't speak. So I'm not a quiet person, and so I made him talk to me, and I made him be my friend, and that's what brought me here.
And now she's a big sister to him.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's my work brother.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, Clay's awesome. He's just absolutely wonderful.
So.
And you talk about Father Ken. If you haven't been to Trinity and listen to Father Ken, during his sermons, I can close my eyes. And to me, his voice, tone, and inflection is so close to Dick Enberg's.
Oh, right? I think you're right.
Who used to be one of the NBC sports guys. Sure. But when I that's who I hear mm-hmm. in his voice. The tone, inflection, and sound almost exactly the same. And I'm like, it's uncanny.
Yeah.
It really is. He does a great job.
Yeah. Really, well, Trinity's got special stuff going on. They really do.
And I sent him and Father Matt a note after that first, right? I said, it was fine. I said, yeah, because they were kind of worried. I said, you guys did a great job. It's the first one that's ever been done. You're doing it in an environment that no one a week ago knew you would have to do. Just keep doing it. It'll be fine. It'll be great. Anybody criticize you, just keep on going. Keep on trucking. Don't slow down.
Yep.
Right? You're just, it's the opportunity to get it done. Get it done.
Yeah. And now, I mean, we have a very large membership of people that never come to church.
Mm-hmm.
They're live stream members from all over the country.
Well, there were Sundays we would church hop mm-hmm. during that time period. We would watch Trinity, and then we might watch Anastasia Baptist, and then we might go over and watch what's going on at the cathedral. And it's just, we were kind of, because everybody went to live streaming, you're like, okay, we can, we'll watch all these. And then I think all of y'all were involved, mostly Clay, in the Alpha classes that were mm-hmm. all online with 50 or 60 people logging in.
Yeah, he was a monster in dealing with
that. Oh, that was unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable.
The Zoom call with 60 or 70 people on it.
And then put 60 or 70 people into different rooms, yep. right? Into breakout rooms, and then bring them all back, and then put them back in the room, and then bring them back. And
his secret moderator helper for a couple of those, because I'm fairly familiar with Zoom. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if anybody knew, but I was also a moderator on those calls, and I would go in and I'd rename everybody so he could easily drop them into their breakout rooms so that he didn't have to.
and no offense to people that are older, right? I'm in that category as well. New technology is difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we had a lot of older folks on those Zoom calls.
Yep.
And they struggled at times to get through that technology, right? And because they just hadn't been around it as much, right? I mean, I've been in business for forever. I didn't do a Zoom meeting until 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Right? And so
hardly anybody
did. And no one did, right? Now everyone has Zoom meetings. In fact, we just ordered a camera for the office. It's called an Owl. It looks like a big speaker. Mm-hmm. You put it in the middle of the table, and the camera rotates to who's speaking.
Whoever's talking, that thing rotates around.
Yeah.
I love the technology. My problem is I don't remember it from week to week about how to set it up. That's why I have Amanda. She comes in and...
Well, to brag on Clay as well, I mean, we do have a lot of older parishioners at our church. And as, you know, COVID happened and we started getting connected, a lot of the older members would stop into our tech room as we're live streaming. And, hey, I've got a question. And Clay would go to their house and he would rewire their system, or he would fix it for them. So he's a good guy like that.
Yeah, that's cool.
No, he is awesome. This is the Clay Blazer Appreciation Show. If those of you don't know that, Clay, if you're ever feeling a little down or you just need to watch the last 10 minutes of this show.
That's right.
True story.
That's right. Maybe you should have had him as a guest.
No, he would not do it.
I know he would.
He won't. In fact, I really feel bad. Last Thursday, I had a guest in. I think Reese was in. Blake was going to be here. I thought it was going to be Clay. I hate to do trivia with Clay because he just doesn't enjoy the trivia. I mean, we first started doing best guests with Troy on the radio. It was just Troy against himself, and it was rather funny. And then Pete started producing, and Pete hated doing it, but he would come up with kind of creative answers. Clay was just like, no, I'm here to do sound. I'm here to do this. I'm very comfortable here. You guys are putting me in a different environment. And so, yeah.
Although he beat me when he played against me.
He did.
He did.
He's never coming back again. You know that?
He's now undefeated.
So you had a pretty interesting career. The part where one-hit wonder. What is your one-hit wonder?
So again, you know, this goes back to one of those times when you do something you don't want to do. My wife said, you have to meet this woman because she spoke at one of Susie's real estate sales meetings. Mm-hmm. And so I get introduced to this woman, and she's... she lives in Jacksonville, and she kind of connects people together. And interestingly enough, I could have very easily said, I'm too busy. I don't have time for this. Mm-hmm. But I reach out to
Susie wasn't going to let you say that.
Well, no, she would have. She would have.
All right.
She would have said, okay. So why?
It's amazing, Amanda, that men still think they have control over these things. Yeah, so it really truly is.
We do.
Well, they still think they have free will. But
so,
go ahead.
So anyway, I meet her, and it turns out that she was... her father was one of Martin Luther King's lieutenants, and mm-hmm. she's sort of a political activist. And she had recently moved to Jacksonville, and at that time, and this was 2014, Jacksonville had voted down a human rights ordinance for the LGBT community, which was the ordinance would protect them from being kicked out of their apartment or lose their job from just because they were gay. And so she calls after, at the end of our first meeting, I said, I would really like to work with you on something. I don't know what it is. And it's selfish of me, but I want to do something that will promote my business, to get some, connection to my business. So a couple weeks later, she calls me and says, I want to start this thing called We Are Straight Allies. And it's like the white people supporting black people, during the racial times in the 60s. And so I said, well, this is not something that's been on my radar, but, I'm not for people getting kicked out of their house or losing their job just because of that. And so she connects me. I agree to do photography and video for this project, this campaign. And so she calls me a couple of days later and says, so can you come to Jacksonville on this day? Because we have the CEO of Florida Blue and the CEO of Haskell Corporation coming to us at these two gay guys' house in Springfield. I said, they're coming to us? This is a $1 billion corporation. So, they come to us, we photograph them. As a result of that, I end up photographing Nancy Hogshead Maker, who is a 5-time Olympic gold medalist in swimming. The former mayor, John Daly, or is it
Delaney.
Delaney, who's now at Flagler, but he was at UNF at the time. And a number of other kind of pretty big leaders in Jacksonville. And then I get a call from the wife of the CEO of Florida Blue wanting me to come and photograph at a party because a friend of hers is Dorothy Hughes. And Dorothy Hughes was the black woman in the photograph with Gloria Steinem with their fists up in the air that was very famous and published in 1971. I think Amanda can probably show it to you. Yep. But anyway, they were going to be there at this party because the party was for Dorothy Hughes. And so... would you come and do photographs? And I said, well, I'm not a party photographer. I'm a studio photographer. But if you give me a place to set up lighting, I'll take these photographs. I'll take photographs of anybody you want. Mm-hmm. As a result of that, I end up creating this photograph that she'll probably pull up here in a minute, which is 40 years later. It's a recreation of the same photograph from 40 years later. And so, I didn't pay much attention. Everybody was exhausted. I get home and I look at this photograph and I kind of go, holy crap. Mm-hmm. This is a really good photograph, and it's a neat representation.
How did I take that?
Yeah, well, I knew I took it, but it was like a surprise to all of us. So anyway, shorten the story a little bit. I wanted to get it into the Smithsonian National Portrait Gallery with the original, and I wanted like somebody like Gloria Steinem or somebody who had some connections to do that. Well, it just never happened. And I finally decided, well, I'm just going to throw it out there. So I write them a letter. I send them a copy of it. I send them an email. And I get this, weeks go by, and I finally get a message. Oh, I'm sorry, been out of town. We'd love to take your photograph to the curatorial committee on July 11th. And I said, I walked in the house and I said to Susie, well, it's going to get in because July 11th is my birthday.
Okay.
So I get a photograph in the Smithsonian voted for on my birthday.
Yeah.
So then and then it takes like 8 months and all this paperwork and documentation and all this stuff. And so Amanda can also show you another picture where there's if you go look me up and there's the picture and all the information about it. That's the listing in the Smithsonian National Portrait Gallery. So, as a result of that, I get another call from somebody and they said, we would like to use your photograph for a exhibition at the Museum of the City of New York. Mm-hmm. To be the signature image for this exhibition called Suffrage, 100 Years of Women in Politics, celebrating women having the right to vote in New York for 100 years. And so now this thing is now on the front of this. It's on Fifth Avenue in New York, right across from Central Park. Mm-hmm. There's this big, monstrous print of this photograph with information about the exhibition. And then our son happens to be in New York. And, you know, we had told him about it, but they didn't think it was any big deal. Well, he's driving around New York because he's out there on business. And I think he was there with his wife for a Christmas party or something for his company. And they call up and they said, Gramps' photograph is all over the Jumbotrons all over New York.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but all because I said yes to meeting somebody I didn't want to meet.
Yeah. It's amazing how life does that to you.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes we think we know how you know what it is that will be good for us. Sometimes you just got to say yes.
Yeah, I'm going. Yeah, yeah. I'll be there. That's a very neat story. It's a great picture. I mean, it's a wonderful, wonderful picture.
So anyway, it's that's the serious one hit wonder, and then Pete's the number two one hit wonder.
You know. Yeah, I gotta tell you, Pete looks better than Gloria Steinem. Well, I just gotta say it. Throw it out there. It's true. Yeah.
He's a lot younger.
Fuck you, lady.
Yes.
he wears the wig better than she would. You know,
I mean, next time he's on, Amanda, that's gonna be his intro music.
Okay.
Next time he sits in, we're gonna play Foxy Lady as we introduce him.
There you go.
Okay. Just so
that's hilarious. So anyway, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah. No, I think that's really amazing. And you do a lot of work with local businesses
I work for you guys.
Yes, you did. You did a lot of great work with us.
Yeah, we've photographed a number of your renovations.
Yep.
And we've done some photographs for Solar Stick. And I've photographed the headshots for them. And, you know, one of the worst mistakes anybody can make is to have a crappy headshot. But one of the funniest stories I had was I had an older woman approach me about being photographed. And she said, I really do not want to have a shitty obituary picture, so I got to get this done. that's not my claim to fame of that I'm doing pre-obituary.
Dan Bagan, obituary photographer. That explains Troy's picture. I 100% get Troy's picture.
That's right. He doesn't want a crappy obituary picture.
Now so, I get it.
Here lies.
Prospector Troy from the third Toy Story movie.
Yep. So anyway. So yeah, it's very cool.
That's
for an old codger like me, it's a fun time. I'm never retire.
So in between photography, what'd you do for a living?
Well, I did a couple of things. I went to a school originally to do industrial inspection, and I would go out and inspect everything from oil platforms to nuclear reactors to pipelines and that sort of thing. And then I got a business degree, and I started a company that installed natural gas pipeline and inspected natural gas pipeline. And then became a consultant after that. And as a result of that being a consultant, then I started doing software training and I created a couple of businesses. And I really like that process. I love the creative stuff. And that sense of how things should look, I have a sense of style that I can recall being in junior high and recognizing, you know, how some things look better than others. But at that time, you know, I thought I wanted to be an athlete, and I was tiny and immature, and there was no real hope for my athletic career. But it wasn't cool to be an AV geek at that time.
No, it was never cool to be an AV geek.
Yeah.
Right now, it's kind of like, well, you can fix things, so it's kind of cool. But yes, I would say all three of us in here wanted to be an athlete.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right, Amanda?
There was a time, yes.
Before you wanted to clean out dolphin cages.
Yeah, I always wanted to be a dolphin trainer, but being a swimmer was a means to the end on that.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's interesting because your career is two really different things. But coming back to that create, I mean, you create new businesses out of that and get it, but the photography is such a difference, a left side, right side of brain kind of operation.
And I think I was always really meant to be a photographer, but but the potential for it as a career at that time didn't exist. So, but now it's perfect for me.
Well, and I kind of identify that. I love my construction job, completely different from doing the podcast every night, but I really love doing the podcast. And sure. Because I went to school to and was a journalism major at Florida Southern. You were a journalism major because everyone said, well, broadcasting, there's no future, right? Because in the 1980s, there was no future. I mean, you were either on a radio, right, which had a limited range. A few people got to go to the big radio stations. TV was the same way.
Yeah.
Very small markets. CNN didn't exist. Fox News didn't exist. None of these national cable. I mean, so everyone was driving towards print.
Yeah.
Which, if you think about it, was like the worst advice they could give us back
absolutely.
Then, right?
Because
print
terrible.
Is dead.
Print is dead.
Print is dead.
And then now ask Joe Rogan how it's going. You know, I mean, he's the, you know, the biggest podcast representative in the world, right?
Well, and the kids are like, Troy and I are 3 or 4 years into the radio show. I'm not going to listen to you on the radio, Dad, but if you'll get a podcast, I'll watch. I have a podcast. They still don't watch.
Well,
might be the content they disagree with. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But, no,
but the barriers to entry, you know, the quality of stuff you're able to produce today is, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they're serious people who have left, you know, broadcast television to start podcasts.
Yeah, Keith Oberman's not one of them. No, okay, we just want to say that right now. He's not a serious person.
He's an angry person. Ask Megyn Kelly how it's going. I think she's doing pretty well.
I think she's resurrecting her career.
I do too.
I think she...
Nobody's in control of her now.
No, she had a following. She alienated that following.
She did. She blew it up.
Then she went to... the left side of news and didn't realize the anger against her for all the years that she had been more of a right-leaning pundit, right? Mm-hmm. And now she's got the opportunity to say and do what she wants. I think it's great that she's got that. So.
Yeah. She's, again, the production, you know, the ability to produce it is just like you got going on here.
And I hear she's voting for Trump next time. Wow. Megyn can vote.
She's not going to tell you who she voted
for. No, she better not. Now, I think that's interesting to watch some of that. It has become an incredible format for people to be able to get news and information out that we didn't have 15 years ago, 10 years ago. I think it's awesome.
It is. It's great.
I think it's killing TV.
Oh, it is.
Right. I mean, TV is. I know the gravestone for print journalism is going to be right next to the gravestone for broadcast TV.
Yep.
Doggone.
They have no control.
No.
Anymore. And they can't generate the revenues. And it's just, they're just being destroyed.
Yeah. So. All right. We're going to get you way outside of your comfort zone.
Oh, it's going to be way outside.
Way outside. Now, Clay has won this. Usually when I bring in people that have never played trivia before, Amanda just chokes. I don't know what she's doing back there.
Oh, I'm not worried about Amanda. I'm worried about me.
Well, I'm looking at Dan's pictures of doggies back here.
Oh, yeah.
Completely.
I got to photograph all the canine dogs for the county. That was so much fun.
If somebody wants to get a hold of you, where do they need to call?
904-806-6967. Call or text me.
And you'll go and they can come to your studio.
Generally speaking, but I'm willing to talk about just about anything. Mm-hmm. So, but
especially if it leads to a picture that goes to the Smithsonian.
That's right. If you got something that we can, you know.
I want you to know, I fully expect one of my building pictures to be there before the end of my career. So get busy on this.
You got to give me more buildings to photograph.
I'm going to have to give you a whole bunch more buildings to photograph. A whole bunch more.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to start out with an easy question, Amanda.
All right. Well, are we going to explain the numbers rules?
I explained all that to Dan while you were getting ready to produce today.
All right. I didn't have
Since to I was here early today.
You were.
I was like... Don't know why. I guess because I'm ready for the weekend.
Just wanting to get out of here.
And if anybody wants to play online, obviously you always can. And if you get answers right, I will keep up. All right. So, Amanda.
Yep.
DeSantis sent planes of immigrants to where yesterday?
Martha's Vineyard.
Dan?
Martha's Vineyard.
All right. See, layup for both of you.
Got that one.
layup for both of you.
I wish he had flown the plane himself. That would have been hilarious.
He's not Maverick. Just because he ran that ad with him looking like Maverick, he's not Maverick.
Ruin all my dreams.
Yeah.
All right. So
he didn't look as good in the helmet, I got to tell you.
He didn't look like Dukakis, right? He didn't look
well,
like
no, that. Not as bad as Dukakis, no. but it wasn't really flattering.
No. I don't know how. The only person, I mean, there's a reason Tom Cruise carries the helmet most of the time. Yeah.
Almost
the
nobody
movie,
looks
right?
nobody looks good in
that. Yes, there's a reason. It's supposed to help you. It's not. Yeah. All right. So the federal government through August has collected how many trillions of dollars in taxes? It's set a record. All right, Dan, you get to go first.
Oh. Ten? I'm guessing.
Amanda?
I'll say higher.
It's actually lower.
All right.
$4.4 trillion in revenue.
Wow.
It's a 13% increase from last year. We do not have a revenue problem.
Oh.
We have a spending problem.
Yeah.
We have a spending problem. If you can raise $4.4 trillion and there are people that pay zero income tax, right? And I know they pay other taxes and other fees, but if you can do that, that's absolutely nuts and incredible. So
there are scientists that make a living studying what side an ant falls on when they're drunk. Literally, that was a federally funded scientific research project. Is they got a bunch of ants drunk and they studied what side of their body they fall on.
So when you take me on these tangents, what alcohol were they feeding them?
I didn't look into that. I looked at how much it cost and now I don't even remember that.
Well, if it was tequila, they would have fallen on the other side.
Well, I'm kind of, if it was bourbon, I was going to be upset, right? You can't waste bourbon on ants. I would have been very upset. Vodka, Amanda would have been upset.
I would have understood vodka though.
Really?
Yeah.
So which way did they fall, left or right?
I don't remember. Talk to Rand Paul. He's the one that had he's the one that blew the whistle on it.
Oh, he blows the whistle on a lot of things.
He does.
I hear he and Dr. Fauci have a date in the fall, maybe.
Yeah.
Right after the first of the year.
They got together recently.
Yeah, they did. It's always fireworks with those two.
Oh.
Yeah. It's exciting. All right, so the Emmy Awards, Amanda, were Monday night. Did you even know that?
No, not until I saw the pictures of the girls in dresses.
Okay. I didn't know either. You know, they actually moved it from Sunday night because they didn't want to compete with the Sunday night football preview. Did no one tell them there's Monday night football too?
Yeah. I guess
did not. No one forget to tell them in the meeting, hey, there's Monday night football. But anyway,
theater nerds, they don't know football.
That's correct. So was the audience larger this year or smaller this year than last year?
Smaller.
Okay. So last year they had 7.4 million people who tuned in to watch.
Closer to 5.
5.9 million this year. Almost 6 million, which the previous low was 6.1 million in 2020.
Did anybody get slapped?
Well, no, I don't think so. No one watched.
We would have heard about it.
You would have heard about it, right? Apparently, Chris Rock and Will Smith are going to host the Oscars next year.
Oh. Awesome.
I'm just kidding. I don't know. I can't ever imagine them on the stage. Happened. I don't ever see them again.
I did hear that Jimmy Kimmel insulted or offended a bunch of people because he did a skit in front of a woman's acceptance speech. And
pretended to be drunk and fell on the floor.
Yeah, he pretended to like pass out in front of her. And so now there aren't any photos of her without Jimmy Kimmel's body on the floor in front of her. And she happened to be a black woman winning that award for the first time ever. So it was highly offensive.
So was he dressed as Karl Malone? Just asking. Was he dressed as Karl Malone?
There is a history there.
There is a huge history there of him doing things that if he did them today, when he did the man show, he should be canceled. How he has survived is beyond me because the stuff that they used on the man show is pretty bad.
Oh, my word.
It was bad. All right. So the White House, through their inflation reduction party the other day, as it was announced that inflation went up 8.3% and the stock market tanked, not the end of the story. They had James Taylor there singing a song. So the song that James sang was his famous one, right? And I'm trying to remember the name of it. Fire and Rain. Okay. What is the song Fire and Rain about, Dan Bagan? What was it written about?
I don't know.
Amanda?
I got nothing, but it's got to be something ironic. So was it written about the Depression?
Well, you're close. It was written about suicide and drug use.
Which follow right after Depression.
Depression.
Yeah, depression. Well, you're getting, you're close, but, you know, it's like Hunter Biden and Parmesan. It's not the same thing.
It's not the same
thing. It's not the same thing. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you would think, hey, we're celebrating. Let's do an uplifting song.
Yeah, there we go.
Right? Celebrate good times. Get cool in the gang there. Have a ball, right? Hey, right. The country's back on track. Inflation's over if you're trying to sell that. But you bring James Taylor to sing
a song about depression.
A song that's depressing to listen to. You're like, who scheduled this?
As you're watching the ticker box.
As you're watching the ticker box crash the stock market.
Does
yeah.
Do you have a song about friends or something that you could have played?
Yes. You Got a Friend in Me by Randy Newman, maybe. Yeah, yeah. Right?
Short people.
So how much is fuel oil up year over year? What percentage, Amanda? This is all in the story about inflation being gone.
I will say it's up 35%.
Dan?
More.
68%. 68%. Eggs are up 40%. Meat's up 9%. Fuel oil, 68.8%.
But no inflation.
No, there's zero inflation. There is zero inflation. Nothing to see here, people. Move along.
And gas prices are down, so they're only twice as much as they were 2 years ago.
Gas prices are up 25.6%. Yeah, I love that.
And will drop until the midterms.
Well, no, they're not going to drop until the midterms. Because some country in the Middle East just decided to cut production.
Oh.
So which country in the Middle East decided to cut production?
Saudi Arabia.
Amanda?
Iran.
Saudi Arabia. Ah. Saudi Arabia. Dan, we should just talk about photography for the next few minutes since you have a 4-1 commanding lead. Over. I told you, Amanda against rookies, her record is terrible.
I don't want to crush the spirit of newbies.
There it is. She's just, you know, letting me have it.
Do you write her checks for work or something? Yeah. Are you playing client golf right now?
No.
Is that what you're doing? Are you throwing this?
Never. I would never do that.
Okay. All right.
She'd humiliate me any chance she got.
Paul and Troy roll in here, and you're like within a millimeter of every single money question.
Oh, I hate the numbers question.
Okay, so which social media giant, who goes first this time? Dan, Amanda?
I think Dan, I just did
that. Dan, yep. Social media giant completely accidentally, handed over GOP voter information to Democrats. They didn't mean to do it. It just kind of happened. So now the Democrats have all this voter information on Republicans that use the app. What app was it, Dan Bagan?
Social media.
Yep.
Twitter, I don't know.
Amanda?
Yeah, I mean, it would have to be Twitter, right?
Snapchat. What information? How many Republicans are really on Snapchat?
How many voters are on Snapchat?
Why are they telling them how they voted?
Well, they're telling them information if they're following some algorithm where it picks up Republican or conservative ideals and, hey, here's how you get to these people. And, you know, I don't know how that helps Democrats in the election unless they tell them the election is next week, right? The week after.
To remove them from Snapchat.
Yeah. I didn't even know Snapchat was still a thing.
Me either.
I didn't. Did you ever guys have Snapchat as an app?
No, it's a younger person's app.
Yeah, this is a kid's app.
That pretty much kills the three of us then.
Yeah, Clay has it, but yeah. That's the oldest person I know with Snapchat.
Yeah, and he's a little old for it.
But he's only 24.
Nope.
24. I know, he's older than that.
He just looks like he's 20.
Okay. So scientists decided that having a COVID contagion running around wasn't enough. So in a lab, they have reportedly recreated one of the older viruses that's out there that was really deadly. So which virus did they recreate, Amanda?
recreate.
Yep, they've recreated a virus that we survived as humans, and in a lab they have recreated it. What could possibly go wrong?
Well, I would say bubonic plague, but that was found recently in California, wasn't it?
Maybe.
I'll say that.
Dan?
Smallpox?
So that's still around. I mean, they have weaponized versions of that, right? The Spanish flu.
Awesome. Good.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
We need that.
Yeah. I think scientists are not the smartest people anymore. Why would you recreate that?
Well, there's the old line from Jurassic Park. They were so busy concerned with whether or not they could, they never thought about whether they should.
I 100% agree with that.
Well, that was like, didn't the one of the latest vaccines, it was tested on 12 mice?
Yes.
I feel comfortable with that study.
Well, the 12 mice didn't.
Excellent sample size.
Well, they must all lived. I mean,
yes.
Or maybe only a handful of them died. Yeah.
Good gracious.
Yeah, I might hold that one for a little bit. Okay, so which former press secretary has a new job checking the facts in the press? The press secretary is quoted saying, "What I hope to do is bring that passion for explaining things, debunking things, calling out BS when you see it on my next job." So which press secretary said that, Dan?
The one that was before the one there is right now. What's her name? I can't remember her name.
Uh-oh.
Jen Psaki.
All right, Amanda?
It was Jen Psaki.
It was Jen Psaki. Which you have to actually, when I watched Jen Psaki do the job, I was like, this is terrible.
Yeah.
This could not get any worse.
I didn't think it could get worse until we got her replacement.
And then Joe Biden's staff said, hold our beer.
Yeah.
We can be worse.
Yes.
We can be worse.
Just when you thought the bar wasn't low enough.
Just when you thought it wasn't low enough. All right. So both of you, it's 5-2. Amanda, you've got like 5 minutes to get on the stick here.
All right.
All right. So right now, do Americans smoke more cannabis or tobacco, Amanda?
Cannabis.
Tobacco.
Cannabis.
Wow.
You old guy, you.
That blows me away.
Yes. More cannabis.
You got to check your facts.
The highest consumption rate is among 18 to 34-year-olds. 30% smoke and 22% snort.
Do we have a prediction for how long it's going to take for there's a class action lawsuit against big weed?
Yes. It's 10 to 15 years away. And the only reason they're not suing now is they have to let big weed get a big pile of money in the bank. Mm-hmm. And then it's attractive to sue them. But all they're going to do is bring out all the paperwork from the tobacco lawsuit.
Sure.
Change tobacco to marijuana. And here we go. Right. It's you're still smoking.
Sure.
So I think the most clever of the weed products is Mike Tyson's. Did you hear about Mike Tyson's edibles company?
I have, but I have forgotten. What is Mike Tyson's edibles company?
They're in the shape of an ear with a bite out of it.
Oh, I remember.
And it's called Mike Tyson's Bites.
He didn't come up with that.
I know, but he said, I'll put my name on it.
I'll put my name
on it. And the person that did is like, all the way to the bank, I'm laughing.
But I got to say, whatever person pitched that to Mike Tyson, because it's 50-50 shot, whether he's going to laugh or whether he's going to deck you in the face.
Yeah, that's right.
That person had some cojones.
Yeah. All right. So this is a multiple choice question. I'll help you guys out because it'd be almost impossible to figure out. New Mexico police raided a drug house. They found an alligator in New Mexico. Right in the house, drugs and money, but they're missing this wild animal. There's pictures of the wild animal in the house, but they can't find the wild animal. So was it a lion, a tiger, or a bear? Who goes first?
Is it me?
I think it's you.
I think it's a tiger.
I think it's a bear.
It is a tiger. A one-year-old tiger as a pet.
There's some sort of cachet with drug dealers and tigers.
Oh, that's what it is. I'm spotting her back.
I know. It's all of a sudden it's a game. Amanda just kind of lulled you to sleep with some really bad answers.
Right.
And all of a sudden
I'm going to start answering the same way she answers.
Well, I was going to tell you a minute ago, you might want to just answer the same way.
Yeah.
You won't be able to on this one. So Harvard is sitting on top of a hedge fund that they call an endowment, pay zero taxes on it. How many billions of dollars are in this endowment?
Me? I'm first?
I think you're
first. 100.
100 billion. Amanda?
I think that it is more than that.
It's 54 billion. Yale has 31 billion. Stanford 29 billion. And Princeton 26.
Well, the Ivy League has like this ridiculous amount of money they could pay for college for like $150
They shouldn't have to
everyone.
Have to charge tuition at all.
All right. So Amanda is a Florida man story.
Okay.
Was in a bar, right? Wilton Manors, Florida. This is back in mid-August. At approximately 9:26 p.m., police officers were contacted by an emotionally disturbed man. He pulled out a weapon of war in the bar before being tackled by a Good Samaritan. So what weapon of war did he pull out? And I will tell you, it was not a rifle.
Okay.
So you have to think of some other weapon of war that he pulled out in this bar and threatened the patrons with it.
I'll say it. Bayonet. I'm thinking blade.
Okay.
Blade.
A hand grenade.
You know, I was gonna say hand grenade.
He brought out a hand grenade.
I was playing it safe.
Yes, a hand grenade. I was gonna say cannon. I would probably have said cannon.
Had you not said weapon of war, I would have said an alligator.
Yes. There's pictures all over the place of people walking into bars with alligators in Florida.
There was a guy that tried to rob a fast food drive-through window with an alligator.
All right. So thefts of Kia and Hyundai models have soared in Chicago. Apparently, there's a challenge on TikTok which shows you how to start the Kia and Hyundai cars using only a USB cable. Right? Which is really, one, why did not Hyundai and Kia think of this, right? They had engineers. But two, it's gone viral showing people how to do this. So what is the increase in car robberies percentage-wise in Chicago? What percent increase?
30%.
Amanda?
I think it's more than that.
767%. A 767% increase.
USB cables.
USB cables.
Is it a micro USB? Not that I'm asking.
They're probably stealing those from somewhere right in Chicago. I saw a meme today. It was Al Capone. It said, Chicago was safer when I was in charge.
For sure.
I mean, all right.
Other news, bodegas can't keep micro USB cords on their shelves.
Yeah, in another news. All right, so the war in Russia is getting tough for the Russians and in Ukraine, right? It's a little tough. There's a story that they're running out of ammunition. So they have reached out to another country to buy ammunition from this other country. It is not China. So what is the other country, Dan, that they are trying to buy munitions from?
Iran.
Amanda? This is for the tie and to go into overtime.
I'll say Iran.
North Korea.
Oh, dude.
How bad is it when you have to phone the North Koreans for something?
That's right? Pretty bad.
That's like everyone else is gone. Now, Mr. Putin, you need to call North Korea.
I wouldn't trust that they'd actually shoot.
I don't know that they work either, but I don't want to say anything too bad against either one of them. I mean, right now, I'm making fun of two of the baddest people on the planet. They have no problem killing people. I wasn't talking about Hillary. Why are you looking at me that way, Amanda?
You know.
Why? Why? All right, so, Dan, you have won your first ever trivia contest. High five for you. Amanda wants a raise whenever she gets back to producing for you.
I didn't say that.
I want her to have a raise.
All right, this has been St. Augustine this evening. Dan, thanks for coming in. If you guys appreciate need it. Dan, give me your number one more time.
904-806-6967.
Wonderful photographer. We use him at AD Davis. He's absolutely great.
And you can find him on Facebook at Bagan and Company.
All right. Thank you. You guys have a great weekend. We'll see all you guys on Monday.